Well, first of all, it's a very long time since I've actually been to a Sunday service. So I go back to the days of Nigel and Melita. So I don't know how long ago that is. Must be about 8 years. But it's a great honor and a privilege to see you all. And one of the things I pick up as I walk into a church is the spirit of the church. And some churches you go to are rescue shops, you know, legitimately. And other churches have a higher level of prophetic community. And it's important to understand where a church is. And what the Lord said to me about today, because when I prepare, I always, first question is, or what I want to know, is not necessarily what I'm going to say, but what God wants to do. Okay? So, without any hesitation, God said to me that He's going to refill people with the Holy Spirit. Now, that doesn't mean to negate what God has done, but a fresh outpouring on you. There may well be people who've never known the activity of the power of the Holy Spirit coming on them. And there may be people here who do know that, but really don't speak in tongues or don't move in any of the supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit. Well, I'd encourage you at the end of this talk to come forward, and we're going to pray for you. When I preach or the gospel or carry the message of what God wants me to give, I believe that the word just should be accompanied with power and demonstration. So if you're sick, I want to pray for you, okay? If you do not know Jesus, or you're searching after Him, or you've got a lot of doubts, or you're not sure that if you died you'd go to heaven, I want you to pray to receive Jesus, or to ask Him to reveal Himself to you, because God wants this moment to be a time of transformation. Amen.
Amen.
Just a little bit on what I'm up to. As Russell said, I've been I've been active in the ministry for probably over 50 years, but I've actually been in areas of responsibility in ministry for 47 years, and actually senior leadership of churches, because I was a missionary before that, must be at least 35 years. So I'm now, the Lord just said to me, it's time to hand over the church to a younger generation. But there is something going out across the city that is erroneous, and that is, I've retired. I haven't retired, but I am doing something else. And what the Lord wants me to do is help everybody else's church see a visitation of God and to grow, to see everybody else's church blessed. In my time, I've seen about 6 outpourings of the Holy Spirit. And James, who I handed over to, say, I want to see that for my generation. And he's operating in an era, I think, that is pagan. So they can't afford to have a message with the power and without the power and demonstration in the society they live in. So that's what I'm doing. So I'm going all over the place, doing outpouring services and encounter services alongside services like this. And in some situations where there's a high level of a prophetic community, I've written out a school of the Spirit that can be done in-house, in church. So I offer to help with leaders to put that into place so that everybody in the church understands how to hear God and how to move in the power of God to see the sick healed, captives set free, the lost saved, and the brokenhearted mended. Amen. So that, if your church was interested, I'll send a digital copy to your leaders and they can have a look at it and they can change it, sling it, whatever. Okay. All right. Praise God. When I moved from South Liverpool, where I was a Baptist minister, I came to City Church and we bought this house in Kensington, which is actually the red light area of Liverpool. As I look out of my house, I can see brothels. And I've had, on numerous occasions, even at the age of 69, young ladies coming up to me saying what I don't really want to hear. And my children have been approached about how they can have a higher experience on mainstream heroin. So it's that type of area. It's where God's placed me. And we've seen the glory of God touch people's lives, save people that were other people thought were unredeemable. Amen. I remember one time in our church where God just moved and I knew. The church didn't know. There's a whole row of prostitutes on the church, you know, they're giving their lives to the Lord Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Anyway, I moved over and we had to do the house up. And a friend of mine said, my neighbour's got some giant mirrors that go from wall to ceiling. So I thought, oh, that'd be great. And I made this massive wardrobe in our bedroom. Floor to ceiling mirrors. So as I get out of the morning, I can see how big my tummy's getting. It's the first thing that greets me, you know, when I look wake up of a morning. And in that one half is Sue's stuff, and in the other half is my stuff. And I have to say, Sue's stuff is growing into my area. But because I'm a Christian, I take it with all grace, you know. But imagine if while I'm here and Sue's at City Church, that we had a thief break into the house. And when I get back home, my best suits has been soiled and urinated on, and Sue's dresses have been slashed and damaged and destroyed. It would be a terrible thing, wouldn't it? Well, I want to tell you that your life is a wardrobe. And the devil has come to kill and to steal and to destroy your health, to destroy your mind, to destroy your spirit, to destroy your connection with God, to destroy your family, to destroy the church, to destroy your community. He has come to kill and steal and destroy. And there'll be people in this room. There'll be people in this room that the devil, you love the Lord. And maybe things have been placed in by God and you've seen God move, but the enemy's attacked the wardrobe of your heart, perhaps soiled it, something unclean spoken over you or invaded your life, something that's been slashed, a wicked word spoken over you that's slashed your heart. And there are people in our churches, you see, before God said to me, I'm going to refill people today. But before we can do that, you need to allow him to walk into the wardrobe of the heart of your life and look at all those things that the enemy has damaged over the years. Because today, God's going to put new things in that wardrobe. Hallelujah. He's going to remove the damage the enemy has done, and he's going to place in the wardrobe today glorious clothes. And that's what I want to talk to you about, the wardrobe of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. You know, are the cursed garments in your wardrobe, are the garments of deception and unbelief or doubt or fear being placed there? Are the garments, you know, someone put a garment in the enemy somehow, and you've perhaps even allowed him, by through unforgiveness, allowed him to hang up on the rail, a garment of bitterness, and it's damaged you. Or something, a memory or an instant or something that's happened, and the enemy has managed to put in there a garment of shame. You see, you can't move in the power of the Holy Spirit with these garments in the wardrobe. This is why when we start, I'd like us to play that song when I finish, you know, make me an offering. Jesus, bring new wine out of me, pouring new things, sorting the stuff, sorting the damage, sorting the hurt. Because God loves this church and he loves you. And sometimes you put the stuff in yourself and sometimes you haven't. The enemy's just... Or you've left the door open and before you know where you are, all sorts of junk has come into your life. Well, today is the day God's going to clean that wardrobe out, put new garments. Amen. Now, some of the clean garments, I want to talk about these things, is, you see, Jesus has come to destroy the works of the evil one. Amen. That means to grab all this garbage in your life and my life, get it out. Amen. And you see, when God destroys the works of the enemy in you, you carry the authority to destroy the works of the enemy in everybody else. The level of liberty that God moves in you is the level of liberty that you carry in the gospel you represent. Amen. That's why it's so important. And God wants to put eternal clothes in there. There's lots of clothes, but I'm going to just list five. Eternal clothes. He wants to put clean clothes. He wants to put supernatural clothes. He wants to put prophetic clothes in there. And he wants to put happy clothes in there. Contrary to all the religious miseries, he wants to put happy clothes in there. And I'll explain that when I get to it, if I get to it. Praise God. But before he can put anything on, one of the wonderful things about the coronation, I knew this, but it was when I saw it on the television, that that Prince Charles, he goes in, doesn't he, with all his royal robes up the aisle. Archbishop of Canterbury's there. Next thing, they get these screens, put it round the king to be anointed. And the reason for that is they strip him of all his royal garments. Until I got a picture of it. I don't know whether they should have showed you it on BBC, but he looked like me in my gardening clothes. And then they anointed him when he was stripped of all his clothes. he received a fresh anointing. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And then they put, I don't know what clothes he had on before, but he had better royal clothes. And he not only had royal clothes, he was anointed as well. And you see, that for the Lord to be able to move you forward, or on, or deeper, or further, he sometimes has to strip us of our glory. If you want to carry glory, you've got to let him strip you of your glory, of your confidence, of your power, of your opinions, of your will. Do you want him to anoint you today? Or will you let him strip you of your glory? And then he'll give you his glory. Amen?
Amen.
So that when you speak, or whatever it is you do, that when you do it, God's on it. When you start moving, whether it's in good works, whether it's doing talks like this, whether it's shepherding people, whether it's listening and counseling people, whether it's fixing the church, whenever you, if God strips you of your glory and puts his glory, you'll do it with glory. You know, when I was a Baptist minister, I had this lady, and she, I said, I'd like people to have a cup of tea after the service, and her face was like thunder. She used to bring in the drinks like this. You know, I could tell I'd obviously made the wrong move. And in the end, she didn't like doing it. And she said, I don't want to do this. She said, I said, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Let's call her Beryl. It wasn't Beryl. I said, don't worry, Beryl. It's all right. Maybe that's not what you're called to do. It's a good line. That's a good line. So Beryl went off to do whatever Beryl does. And Emmett, this lady, very shy lady, called Emily. She said, I'd love to be able to make the tea. And we had a little hatch, because we had two halls. And after the services, because they were joined together, blessed like that, they'd go and have it. But when Emily gave you a cup of tea, you felt you were getting it off Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Let him strip you of your glory. And then he'll bring fresh glory. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, let's have a look at these clothes, eternal clothes, clean clothes, supernatural clothes, prophetic clothes, and happy clothes. I put that in there. That'll get on people's nerves, that last one. God wants to put eternal clothes on you. He wants you to know that you have eternal life abiding in you. Now, I've no doubt in my mind that there'll be people in this room that you may have given your life to Jesus and ask him to come and wash away your sin, but you're terrified of death. Or you're fearful of the Lord coming back. And you're not sure whether at that point, whether you go to heaven or hell. You will go to heaven, but you'll be greatly crippled if you don't have the garment of assurance. I used to sing when I was a little boy, the mission thing, blessed assurance is Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. And you know, God wants to impart the power of the Holy Spirit that dresses you with assurance. So there's confidence. So there's boldness. I mean, I've had people with machine guns coming at me. He removes the fear of death. And it's okay to ask Jesus to come into your life, but if you are struggling in the area of assurance that you're not sure, or will this, or if I died, or this, I'm going to pray a prayer at the end of this that God will clothe you with the garment of eternal life, that you know eternal life's abiding in you. Oh, I've got so many stories that I need 14 hours to tell you. Listen, this is what it says, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 3. We have an eternal body made for us by God himself, not with human hands. We grow weary in our present bodies, and we long to put on our heavenly bodies like new clothing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Gee, this might shock you, but there won't be very long before I'm going to be better looking than this. Hallelujah. Amen. We will put on heavenly bodies. That's what it says. Like new clothing. Amen. I'll tell you what, if you get fresh glory today, you won't need Botox tomorrow. Hallelujah! Amen. I hope I'm not too loud. My wife usually gives me signals and she's not here. If you can't hear me or whatever. God wants to put clean clothes on. That's what happens with us, really. We live effectively in a coal mine, don't we? But God calls us to walk the world in white, but live in a coal mine. And that's why it's important to keep our hearts pure before the Lord. Say, God, I got stained today. I shouldn't have said that. Shouldn't have done that. Or that person said things to me. It's cut deep. Or that person declared something over me and I feel worthless. We need to be people that are regularly washed by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. That doesn't mean to say we're not holy now, but we need to be kept. Kept. Let's say that word together. Kept. Well, you know how you keep clothes clean, don't you? Is you put them in the washing machine. You don't say, oh, well, I bought it 20 years ago and, you know, it was all right then. You know, this is so important to be honest with God, with our own heart. If you want to see God move and use you in power in fresh ways. You know, the problem with Saul and David, the difference between them was this. They both were a walking nightmare. Both had big issues. The difference between them both was when Saul came face to face with the issues, his approach was, it's really their fault. I had to do this. It was expected of me. When Nathan said, there's somebody here that God's not very happy about because they've done this. And David said, oh, I wonder who that is. I wonder who you could be talking about. Nathan said, you're the man. What was his response? Where, as opposed to when Samuel said, you've got it wrong here, Saul. David's approach was this. Create in me a clean heart. Create in me a clean heart. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. And renew a right spirit in me. That's what we've got to do when our clothes get dirty. God can handle that. My wife says to me, I can say a lot about my wife because she's not here. And there's no snitches in this church, is there? She sometimes says to me, your pants stink. I think, fancy saying such unchristian things to me. But sometimes, you know, if we don't live before the Lord like that, we can't carry the aroma of Christ. Hallelujah. Supernatural clothes. So if you, before I go there, if that's you, you know, if something's happened and it's lodged in and deposited on your life, I want to pray for you. Bible says this, I will sprinkle clean water on you. This is what he wants to do today for some people. I'll sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I'll give you a new heart, put a new spirit in you. And it's not talking about being born again. I will take a heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Don't struggle. Just say, God, just wash me. The ancient priests, they never stopped getting washed, did they? Hallelujah. Supernatural clothes. Listen to this one. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. God wants to give some people in this church, I wouldn't be surprised if everybody wants to do this. He wants you to walk out of this door today with the authority to heal the sick. And to remove terminal illness. He wants you to walk out of this door today knowing that there's angels in front of you sorting stuff out before you even get there. He wants you to carry a presence where supernatural activity of God breaks out if by you just being present. Amen. He wants to put a supernatural garment in there. The power of the Holy Spirit. Notice that verse. It's not about it's not about being born of the Spirit. Because when you're born of the Spirit comes in you. Let me read this scripture to you. The Holy Spirit has come upon. Let's say that word together. Upon. In other words, like a garment, a poncho or whatever, is falling on you. Amen. A mantle. That's what they used to call it in the ancient times. God's put a supernatural mantle on you. Amen. When we pray for people, come out and say, I want a supernatural mantle on me. Amen. We're going to absolutely wreak havoc in the devil's territory. Amen. Oh, I'm getting excited and I don't want to break your eardrums. So, hallelujah, I want a mantle, supernatural mantle that destroys the works of the devil. Amen. Well, there's so much I could possibly say. You know, I will share this because it was funny. I was doing this loft conversion. Myself. That doesn't sound great, does it? I'm up in the loft, full of filth, fiberglass, and all sorts. There's no floor, so I'm crawling over beams. And I have to crawl from one end to the other with my power drill because I have to screw some boards in the furthest corner of the loft. It takes me 10 minutes. My knees, the beams are cutting into my knees. But I eventually get to the corner and get my power drill out. Put positioning. Press the button, nothing happens. They couldn't believe it. Try again, nothing happens. Once more, nothing happens. I hadn't switched it on. You've got to be switched on to the power of the Holy Spirit. If you want to achieve anything for God, amen. Amen. Just turn to somebody and say, God wants you to be switched on. And if you're not switched on and you're switched off, forget preaching the gospel. The gospel has to be accompanied with the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's why Jesus said, I want you to go into all the world. I want you to do this. I want you to see the dead raised, the demonic released, this, that, and the other. Amazing things happen, but don't go anywhere until you are switched on.
Very good. Amen.
And that's why we need a mantle of the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God wants to put prophetic clothes on you so that what the activity you do and the words that you speak to people and the messages you present to people are what God you've heard in heaven. Not off the internet. Not off somebody else's sermons, not out of some evangelical formula for this, that, or the other, not some manual, but like Jesus, I do these things because I've already seen them done in heaven. You see, I know God's going to fill people with the Holy Spirit because before I came here, he said, this is the word he said you've got to take. This is what I'm going to do. You can do all sorts of other things, but this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to refill people today. Amen. I built a nice talk around it, but that's what God wants to do. And people have got, you see, once people step into the realm, once churches start stepping in to the realm of the prophetic is the avenue by which the church moves into signs and wonders. Because it's operating on what they've seen in heaven and what they've heard from heaven. So when they move, you know, it's quite funny, you know, it's quite embarrassing to be honest. Because God will say to me sometimes, this is what I'm going to do. So I'll get, and this has happened over and over again. It happened yesterday. He said to me, before this day's out, there's going to be a few miracles. That's what he said yesterday. Before I even got up to speak, the miracles already took place. I thought, well, you know, couldn't you have waited until I finished my message? But listen, the funny thing is, it's quite embarrassing because sometimes he'll give me this word, but he's already done it. Or it's already in motion when I get there. So I feel like a broken record. You know, they're looking at me to say, yeah, it's already happened. It could well be that he's already filled you with the Holy Spirit again. But just to make sure, we're going to pray for you at the end. Hallelujah. But prophetic, listen to this, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ in Ephesians 1:17, the Father of glory will give you the Spirit. The Spirit. Let's say that together. The Spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of Him. Now, I'm all for studying and reading books. And even, someone said something to me. It was fantastic yesterday. They were just waiting in a queue to get me dinner. And he said, this lady said something to me. I said, I'm going to pinch that. I'm a terrible plagiarist, I said. That's fantastic what you just said. I'm going to pinch that. So I'm not against that. But really, God's made you prophets, and there's quite a few of them in this room. But you know, as I'm saying it, the Lord's told me, blocked up well. There's people here who are prophetic, but you haven't either used it for a while, or people have chucked junk into the well, and it's been suppressed, or stuff, and you're all, one person's almost at the point where you've forgotten how to move in that area. Well, we want to pray for you that that'll be unblocked, come to life again, and you wreak havoc with the enemy. Hallelujah. I'm very vindictive where the devil comes. Anybody else like me? Sorry, try to be quick. This is the one, isn't it? God wants to put happy clothes on you. You know, I was so holy once. I never believed in fun. I thought it was the flesh. I thought fun was the flesh. God wants to put happy clothes. What do I mean by happy clothes? He wants to clothe his children with happiness. Oh man, you're his child. Yes, you will suffer for the name of Jesus. Yes, you've got to endure hardness as a good soldier. Yes, you've got to be patient in tribulation. And there'll be seasons like it's hell on earth. But God wants to put in your spirit a garment of happiness. I like Ken Dodd, don't you? And I honestly, you know, God gives natural gifts to people, doesn't he? He makes some people artistic, and he makes some people scientific, and he makes some people, who knows what he makes them, you know, you wonder sometimes. But when I looked at her, I used to think about Ken Dodd. God put a mantle of happiness on him. And there are people like that. He actually wrote a song, didn't he? Happiness, happiness, the greatest gift that I possess. I think that's true. I think he gave him a gift of happiness. I think some people here, God wants to give you the gift of happiness. Listen, I used to work in as an engineer. And I was half a Christian. So usually when you're half a Christian, you're a miserable Christian. You're a lousy sinner and a miserable Christian because you're nowhere. That was me. And I eventually left engineering. I went into art. I was at art college. And a friend of mine I met from engineering, he said, "What's happened to you?" Didn't know what he was talking about. I'd been born again in between. He wasn't a Christian. He said, "What's you? What's happened to you?" He basically told me I was the miserablest person in the factory. He said, "What's happened to you?" In fact, if my wife's here now, she'd tell me to be not get silly. And hallelujah. But God wants to put joy on you. Amen. Let's read it. This is my verse. Romans 14:17. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Amen. God doesn't want you to be a worrier. Are you like this all the time? Stressed out? God wants to bring peace. He wants to bring joy. He wants you to be a joy carrier. If God doesn't put a garment of joy on you, you'll be rubbish as an evangelist. It'd be like you going up to somebody. You're on the front row, sorry. I got met by Billy Graham at the door. I'm going to tell everyone on Facebook. This is Billy Graham, isn't it? So I hope you're checking up. But yeah, joy in the Holy Spirit. But you know, it's like me going up to an un-Christian thing. Be a Christian like me. That's how the world sees Christians. And I used to be like that. You know, holy, but fun was of the flesh. And I'm as miserable as sin. No, might be. But yeah, for hallelujah. He's going to put garments of joy on people today. You see, some of you people in this room have lost their hope. And you see, if you lose your hope, you haven't even got a platform for faith. Amen. It might have gone out of rationally, it might have been understandable. Disappointment set in. Things have happened. But God wants to come. Clothe you with joy, hope. It says this, doesn't it? This, you know this one. He gives them beauty for ashes. there is someone in this church today, and God's heart for you is that this day is the last day of ashes for you. Amen. Maybe the enemy, maybe demons, maybe spiritual powers have poured ashes on you. I set fire to the garden waste last week, nearly burnt the shed down. I came in covered with ashes. Before I could go anywhere, I had to have a wash. And that's what life's like sometimes, get covered in ashes. Things are, dreams get burnt up. Heart gets broken. We get covered in ashes. Yesterday's makeup is caked. God wants to take away the ashes of someone's life today. Give you beauty. Beauty for ashes. Hallelujah. Oil of joy for a spirit. Listen to that. Spirit of mourning. This thing isn't just rational. These things, they don't possess you, but they sit on you. That's what happens. Hallelujah. Priestly garments, military garments, righteous garments, all sorts of garments. Oh Lord, will you just, let's just pray. Father, we just love you that you love us. We love you. Cry unto you. We cry unto you. Oh Lord, that you will just come and wash us clean. That you give us beauty for ashes and the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. I thank you for this wonderful people and this glorious church. You have appointments for them. You have their destiny in your hands. Come into the wardrobe of our lives. And Lord, we just allow you to take out of our lives those damaged garments, soiled garments, affected garments, infected garments. Take them out, Lord. Strip us of our glory. You strip us of our glory and anoint us afresh today. We want to be ready to be used by you. I want to pray for the sick in a minute. The most important garment is garment of eternal life. Now that doesn't mean to say you haven't asked Jesus into your life and wash away your sin. You're actually justified if you've done that. If he who confesses with his mouth and believes in his heart shall be saved. So you're justified. You will go to heaven, but you're worrying about it. There's no assurance that if you died, you'd go to heaven. You're fearful of death. All sorts of things are going on in the background of your mind. If that's you, I want to pray a prayer again to receive Jesus. And then I'm going to pray over you for a release. For a release of a garment of assurance. I'm going to ask the whole church to pray this prayer, and probably 90% of the church don't need to pray it. But I'm asking this, them to pray it. So the Bible says you've got to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that he was raised from the dead and you shall be saved. So when it's not a silent prayer, you have to say it loud enough so you don't have to shout it, but you have to say it loud enough so your ears can hear what your mouth is saying. So I want to pray this prayer. If you haven't prayed this prayer before, I want you to join in and do that. If you have prayed it before but you've not, don't feel assurance, you need to do that. Let's pray together. Dear God, I thank you that you are my Savior. Wash away my sin and come into my life and bring eternal security and assurance from heaven that I belong to you and I'm going to heaven. In Jesus' name. Amen. Please keep your eyes closed. If anyone prayed that prayer and struggles with assurance, just raise your hands. I'm going to pray. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Okay. Keep them up. And anybody else? I'm going to pray right now. And then there's a spirit behind this. Spirit of death, come off them right now. Right off them now. And in Jesus' name, we agree together. That which is agreed on earth shall be done in heaven. We agree together right now to release assurance of salvation. Assurance of salvation. Protect them. Cause them within a week to know that they're not only protected by you, but there are angels around them. In Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Yes,
Lord.